Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
The countdown is on. I think we're going to get away with saying that. We're nearly at the 1st of December. It's just under a month until the most stressful meal of the year on Christmas Day. But it doesn't have to be that way, because if you break it down, there's an awful lot that you can do for Christmas Day that can be prepared in advance. If you get a head start on it now, you might just have a very hassle-free dinner on the big day. Catherine Fulvio is owner of Ballynockan House and Cookery School and is here to guide us through it all. Do you believe this, that you can actually do enough so that Christmas Day is easy for the chef? Because I'm not sure I believe it.
Oh, 100%, Claire. Like, really? It's all about working smarter, not harder. That's the way I'm thinking. And you can get ahead. Now, you're not going to get ahead, you know, and do useless things. Like, one of the tips I saw that's going around at the moment for Thanksgiving on Instagram, they're saying you can parboil your potatoes and then coat them in duck fat and freeze them. Why would you? Do you know, it's just things I wouldn't waste my effort on, but there's a lot we can do in advance.
I also don't think they're going to taste nice.
I agree.
I mean, they might, but I just don't. And the same with mashed potatoes. I don't think you can freeze mash, can you?
1000% you cannot freeze. It's never the same. It's kind of granular. Yeah. You never get the same texture.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about the clever things that you can do. But I still think you're going to be busy on Christmas Day because you're doing the drinks and you're doing the bits, you know, and you're looking after everybody.
Should you just divvy out the jobs?
Yeah, delegate. I suppose. Delegate a little bit more. Right. So what can we start now? Because it's 4 weeks. Where are we? The 28th.
Yes. So I think the first thing you could do, and I know it's the dreaded job, clean out the freezer.
Oh,
I know. Your face.
I
tell you, no, honestly, the last thing you want to be doing is prepping some sauces and things, or, you know, desserts or whatever, and popping them in the freezer and saying, that'll do. And then you go to put them in the freezer and sure, it's full with soup from like a year ago.
I have a problem with my freezer now because somebody told me you can freeze milk. Do you ever freeze milk?
Yes.
And I'm not in favour of it, but I tried it anyway. But the milk thing, container expanded and it's trapped in there now in the ice. So I have to defrost the freezer to get the thing out. And I would never have used the milk anyway, because I just don't. It's like mashed potatoes. I can't deal with it.
Yeah.
Frozen milk. So yeah, that's what I have to. You've reminded me of that now, Catherine.
A warm, damp towel around it, just to defrost that area rather than having to plug everything out and defrost the whole thing.
Okay, thank you, Catherine.
Yes, I know. I use that milk then for making brown bread. I let it kind of go a bit. Yeah, there you go.
See?
Sorry,
you
whole
see?
Different story.
That's why she's here. Right, come on, tell us what we can do.
So, right, clean out your freezer. Then this weekend is a good weekend to start thinking about the turkey and the ham. Have you ordered it? Where are you going to get it? Make your plans. So, what I thought I would do is give a few tips on the size of the turkey and the ham that you need, because this catches people out and nobody wants to be still eating or looking at the turkey by New Year's Eve. Like, it's too much. So a small turkey, which is about 3 to 4.5 kilo, would easily feed 6 to 8 people. And then a 4 to 5 kilo, 8 to 10 people. This is bone in. And a 6 to 6.5 kilo turkey, 12 to 15 people.
Do we want the legs on it and everything else? Or do we just want the crown?
Because the dark meat's lovely for making like a lovely curry or a fricassee. It's just so nice. You can definitely use it for something later. Mm-hmm. And to be honest, the price isn't much different between getting it with the legs on and the legs off. So you might as well go for it and get the whole thing. And it looks really nice coming to the table. That said, now I've done everything. I've done the boned and rolled. I've tried everything over the years. But I like the look of a whole turkey coming to the table. With regards to ham, it's whether you're going bone in or bone out. So if you're going bone in, you'd want about 300 grams per person. And if it's bone out, about 200 grams per person. And you can go more because everybody loves the leftover ham. You know, it does.
Or ham on Christmas Eve in sandwiches.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's what I'd get ahead with. That's the first thing. Now we're on to the whole cooking preparation. So what are you having for your starter? If you're going to have a soup, and soup is popular because it's light, because you don't want to be too heavy, but you really want to enjoy that main course. It is all about the main course. Now, some people go obviously with prawns or smoked salmon, and I love that too. But if you're doing a soup, you can make it a bit fancier. You know, you can put like toasted seeds on top or croutons on top, just, you know, to make it so it's not your regular lunch soup. But you could definitely make that now and get that into the freezer and go for something like I do in our cookery school. We do a celeriac and thyme bisque, and it sounds awfully fancy.
It does.
It's just a celeriac soup with cream in it. It's really gorgeous with loads of thyme, but it's beautiful. And celeriac's in season at the moment, and it's not your everyday vegetable. So it'll be a soup with a twist.
And it freezes well.
Freezes really well. And the other thing that I do, and I did it at a cookery demonstration last night, is what I call my duo of soups. And that's where you have two soups and you make them separately, freeze freeze them separately, defrost them, heat them up, put them in a jug each and pour them into the bowl and they meet in the middle, Claire, and they look absolutely gorgeous. And it's real, it's kind of a showcase.
Lovely. So you've got the colour going on there
yeah,
as well.
And it's just two soups. I did a beetroot and Jerusalem artichoke last night mm-hmm. and it looked gorgeous.
So you're saying you can kind of do that now, can
oh, yeah.
you?
Absolutely. And you can have some now if you want and put the rest in the freezer and that's you sorted for Christmas Day. Cranberry sauce. Cranberry sauce is so easy to make and it freezes brilliantly, but it'll keep in the fridge as well, even if you do it like later this week.
See, that's something now I'd probably just buy.
Oh, no, Claire, honestly, you buy the frozen cranberries. They're in the shops at the moment.
Yeah,
the fresh
I see
ones
them.
Won't be in for a little while, but the frozen ones are so easy. All you need is, I have a very easy recipe. Put your frozen cranberries in a saucepan, put in some apple juice, just buy some regular local apple juice if you can, a little bit of powdered ginger, and if you want an extra grating of ginger, a little bit of sugar, and you literally cook the cranberries until they pop. They burst open, then take it off the heat.
That's very easy.
So when they burst open, the pectin is released, and then take it off the heat, and then it just sets like a jam.
Mm-hmm.
And you can keep that in the fridge.
So that'll keep in the fridge.
Yep.
Even if you make it now, it'll be fine in a few weeks' time.
Yes, absolutely. Sterilised jar in the fridge.
Give that a go now. That's very simple,
very,
isn't
very
it?
Very easy to do.
And the gravy then, you're saying, make ahead as well.
Yes. Now, I have seen tips for people to make the gravy in its totality, but I don't agree with it. What I would do now is I'd get my onion and celery, mince them really finely, get them into my saucepan, cook them off or until they're really soft.
Mm-hmm.
Add thyme, because thyme is such a Christmassy flavour and it's beautiful. Bit of butter goes in and then you add flour to make your roux. And then I beat in some cider, because cider goes really well with the ham and the turkey. So some cider or apple
Lovely.
Juice and stock.
Mm.
Whisk that, season it with salt and pepper. That would do as a gravy. It would do. But that's what's going around at the moment on Instagram.
Do you cook off the cider before you add the stock?
No. I just let
okay.
it, when it's boiling, it the alcohol cooks off. But my thought process on that tip that's doing the rounds at the moment is it's not enough because you have all those gorgeous juices from the turkey. So make your gravy now, pop it in the freezer, and then on the day, just get it into a saucepan, warm it up, and when the juices are out from the turkey, strain your juices and put them into your gravy. So make your gravy a little thicker.
That's why I was suspicious about the early prep on the gravy, but you're getting there. You're putting in the juices afterwards.
Yes.
Now, that might affect how thick the gravy is, but you can fix that with a bit of corn flour and
water,
right?
You could fix it with corn flour, but I would maybe make it thicker now.
So it's really thick.
And then you're
going
to
add your juice.
Yeah.
That's a good idea. So that's now we have the soup done, we've the cranberry sauce done, we've the gravy done, and the stuffing we can make ahead as well.
Oh, 100% you can make the stuffing, and stuffing freezes brilliantly. And it's a great way of using up the leftover bread that you'd have at home. You know, the way you'd always have a loaf of bread that might not just have made it, or you threw it in the freezer. You want stale bread for stuffing because stale bread soaks up the juices. You can make it into breadcrumbs or you can just tear it up into kind of croutons and have a kind of rough looking stuffing. My go-to stuffing for Christmas Day is always one with the sausage meat, and it's quite convoluted. It's parsnips, sausage meat, apple and onions, celery and loads of herbs. And you just cook everything off and mix it together and it's absolutely gorgeous. But if it's a bit too complicated...
That's a lot now.
It is a lot. But there's eating in it. I'm telling you, you'd actually eat it straight from the bowl the next day. But
The sausage meat stuffing is a heavy one, isn't it?
Very heavy. But this one's lovely with the fruit in it. You've got the veggies and the fruit in it and the parsnips are quite sweet in it. But a very easy one and one with a twist would be something like a smoked bacon cranberry and thyme one. Just get your Irish bacon lardons, dried cranberries, thyme, onions, cook it all off, mix it with breadcrumbs. I usually put a little, now my mom used to always put a drop of milk in it, but people go,
milk?
You know, everybody says that to me. That's how she used to set it. But people put stock in or whatever, but you do need something to kind of hold it together.
Mammies always have secret things, don't they? That sometimes sound mad.
They do.
But they work.
They do.
So a bit of, she puts milk in, right?
Yeah. But you want to set it normally, and you definitely want to taste it. So make sure you have your seasoning in and everything because you're not going to be messing with that afterwards. And you can then do it in a loaf tin and then just cut slices of it. Or you can do it in a little kind of sausage effect, you know, and then put that'll slide nicely into
Wrap
your defrosted freezer, Claire.
Yes, I'm going to sort that today.
You can go all fancy and make little stuffing balls. And they're kind of cute on the plate.
Lovely. So that's all done. And then you just defrost when you're ready to go.
Absolutely.
So we touched on the veg because we don't agree with prepping potatoes in advance. Mm. But we don't really want to be peeling carrots on Christmas morning either. So is there anything we can do in advance on that score?
What I usually do for the vegetables, to be honest, Claire, is I wait till Christmas Eve. I never, there's no knife or peeler in my hand unless I'm carving on Christmas Day.
Okay.
On Christmas Eve, I peel the spuds, I put them in cold water. I don't even put them in the fridge. I just put a bit of ice on top and put them in a colder area of the house or whatever. And the same with the parsnips and the carrots and the sprouts.
And you're not worried about all the nutrients leaking from the carrots when you put them in water for a long period of time and the taste and the flavour?
It's a possibility, but I'd be more worried about the nutrients leaking from me on Christmas Day if I actually had to peel everything.
Do you know what? There's always butter and sugar to bring them back up to life anyway, isn't there?
There is. The sprouts actually don't need to go in water. You can put the sprouts just in one of those bags and put them straight into the fridge. I have a top tip for you if you're keeping your parsnips overnight. If you put them in milky water, it keeps them white.
You and the milk. So milky water for parsnips.
Keeps them white. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. It works a treat.
Write that one down. That's a good one. Okay. So we have to do that Christmas Eve because they're just going to be wrecked if you try and do it a little earlier. But the desserts... you can do in advance, 100%.
Yes, you could make your Christmas pudding now. Mm-hmm. I know people either love or hate Christmas pudding. It's the Marmite, isn't it?
In our house, it tends to be the thing we have on St. Stephen's Day because it's quite heavy. So after your big, huge Christmas dinner, you mightn't fancy the Christmas pudding. But you know what's lovely? Christmas pudding ice cream. It's delicious.
Yes. Yes, I actually have that on one of my little tips. I love the Christmas pudding ice cream. But you can, it's not too late to make your Christmas pudding. You can soak your fruit now in orange juice and whiskey overnight and then just go ahead and make your pudding and steam it and then re-steam it for 2 hours on the day.
So that's done.
That's done.
Tick that off now.
But you can make your lovely, it looks like you make it in the Christmas pudding bowl and it's an ice cream Christmas pudding. So you have the bowl and you just get vanilla ice cream and don't let it melt, but just slightly soften. And then you can crumble up a Christmas pudding into it, or you can put Morello cherries and chocolate chip or whatever you want. But basically it's the shape of put it back in the pudding bowl.
So you could buy a Christmas pudding and crumble it into your soft ice cream.
Yeah, just little mini Christmas pudding and crumble it in.
Don't tell anybody.
And add a little bit of chocolate. Oh, you know what would be lovely in there? You know that crystallised ginger?
Oh, lovely.
So nice. And maybe some chocolate chip, some white chocolate chip or dark chocolate chip. Now, my top tip on that is when you're putting that Christmas pudding, ice cream pudding back in the bowl, line it with cling film first or you'll never get it out of the bowl.
Okay. Yeah. And you want it to look nice. You're turning it upside down.
You're turning it upside down and it's going out on a nice presentation thing. Now, that's not the one you set alight, just in case you're
okay. Don't do that with the ice cream. Don't attempt to do that with the ice cream. Christmas fruit mince.
Christmas fruit mince, you can of course buy it, but I just love the tradition of making mince pies. It's my thing. We do it as a family and you'd be stuffed on Christmas
Eve. Mince pies are huge, aren't they? I mean, you can't move in the supermarkets. They're everywhere, all sorts of different.
So much cheaper to make your own and so much tastier now, but it's very easy to make your Christmas fruit mince. I have a very easy mincemeat recipe. Can I rattle it off?
Do.
400
course,
grams of mixed raisins and sultanas. I'll put this up on my Instagram later just in case anybody's at.
Brilliant.
75 grams of mixed peel and then one orange zest and juice even, and a grated apple with the skin on, 1.5 teaspoons of mixed spice, teaspoon of cinnamon, 200 grams brown sugar and 100 mils of brandy or cider or apple juice. And you cook that off and then I fold in the suet. And if you're not using suet, you could dice up a little bit of butter or you can get vegetarian suet as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just put that in the jar in the fridge.
So the sterilised, it has to be sterilised jar, does it?
Yes. Yes, okay. It is. Now, if you wanted to take a cheat, right? If you were buying the jar, just grate a fresh apple into it before you actually use the mincemeat.
Tell everyone you made it yourself.
And an extra bit of orange zest or something. And honestly, it just lifts it.
Yeah.
And you're putting your own twist on it.
Mm-hmm.
Because not everybody has time for it.
You've reminded me now with that list of ingredients of my Christmas cake. I haven't told you about my Christmas cake, which I made in September.
Really?
First time ever to make a Christmas cake. And I'm afraid to open it. So I'm afraid to, I would have tested it before now, you know, just to see if it was okay. But I'm too scared. So it's up on a high shelf. And what we're eating in my house at the moment, I know it's only November, we're eating my mother's Christmas cake. Like it's half gone. But I have to bring that thing down and test it and see what it's like. But I'm very worried.
But why would you be worried? I'm sure it's great. Have you been feeding
it? It's not great on the baking. No, I didn't feed it because I think I overdid it on the brandy when I was making it. So if I add more in now, as I should, I'm afraid it'll be completely inedible. Like I have this notion that the cake is going to be all the fruit on the bottom and no fruit on the top. But I'm going to take it down, I think, this weekend, maybe.
But the thing, Claire, is if you feed it now, you'll give a chance for the little bit of brandy to soak into it.
Yeah.
If you use the brandy already in the cooking of it, you'll have lost that little bit of moisture because it would have a bit of evaporation.
So are you saying I can't overdo it by putting a little bit more brandy into it now?
I think you could. You could let it soak into it and it would keep it nice and moist as well.
I just have to get over my fear of actually opening up the wrapper to see what it looks like.
And you used to decorate it as well.
Yeah, I wasn't going to do that. I don't really. Well, I'm not mad about marzipan, but I'm not very adept at decorating, so I wasn't going to do that bit. But you're looking at me now as if to say, you have to.
But you could do a different type of decoration. You could do a frosting, like I know it's not everybody's cup of tea, but a nice cream cheese frosting and have it in peaks that look like snow and put a little snowman on top.
I could do that, couldn't I? I could do that. Anyway, that's on the agenda when we get through all the election coverage at the weekend. We might tackle that. Right, alternative desserts then. So we have prepped the Christmas pudding, if that's what you fancy, but some people just don't like it. So are there anything else we can do in advance of Christmas Day?
Yes, you can do your semifreddos, you can do your terrines, anything like that. I make a lovely, what I call my Christmas cheesecake, dead easy to make. And it's just, you just buy the biscuits now. I can't believe I'm saying this. You buy the biscuits and you melt the butter and you crush the biscuits. But I do make it a little bit fancier. I put in almonds and that's my base.
Into the base.
Into the base. You leave that in the fridge, let it set. Be careful not to put too much butter in. That's when it's really hard to cut through any of those cheesecakes because the butter really sets the base and you can't get the knife in when you're serving it.
Of course.
Yeah, so I just make it light bit of butter and then just press it down gently so that it's much easier then to slice. And then the filling is my cream cheese or mascarpone. Double cream, the crystallized ginger, powdered ginger, lemon zest, dried cranberries. You see where this is going?
Lovely.
You've got all those
flavors.
Christmas flavors.
Yeah.
Pour that in on top and let that set in the fridge and then freeze it, Claire.
Oh, does that freeze?
Freezes brilliantly.
See, I'd look at that now and I think the freezer would ruin this thing, but no.
Freezes brilliantly. Take it out the day before, let it defrost, keep it refrigerated, obviously. And then I drizzle a lovely bit of berry coulis. You can buy your mixed berries or you can buy cranberries and make a little sauce, drizzle it over the top and decorate it then with, you know, you can even go all fancy. There's a lot of Irish companies that sell, you know, glitter, like edible glitter. You can just sprinkle that on the top and make it really Christmassy.
Gorgeous. Okay, I love the sound of that one. That sounds lovely. So again, we're trying to avoid the most part of Christmas Day being spent cooking at the oven or at the stove and all the rest. And there's a couple of other little things that you think you say that we could do. So things like brandy butter, if you're into that.
Yes.
Chutneys for cheese, we can do that in advance as well.
Yeah. And it's just that making your own chutney is always so good and you can control the amount of sugar and that you're putting into it. You can get that recipe really right and there's lots of good recipes online for it. I just love those little extras. I think they bring everything together. You could have your salad dressing. If you're not putting anything fresh in your salad dressing, you could make that now. So if you're just doing a vinaigrette with mustard and honey, that could be in the fridge. That'd be fine by Christmas Day. But if you're putting ginger or herbs or anything in, I wouldn't because it won't last. I'd make that a week before. But it's all the little details. Stocks are... Oh, and you know what's all the rage at the moment? Fancy ice cubes. I know there's people listening going, oh, would you have the time now? But honestly, you just make nice little ice cubes with little bits of orange in it and a few frozen cranberries, like we were saying, and maybe a little bit of rosemary. And they're going to be so nice in the drinks and they're really easy win. And if you've kids in the house, they could help you do that for the crack.
Yeah, they look great. Like they look as though you put in the effort, which you did.
But it's the little things that make it look like you put in the big effort.
Catherine, always great to have you with us. I'm going to defrost the fridge and get the milk out and I'm going to cut the Christmas cake. So they're the two things now that you've left me with today. Catherine Fulvio there from Ballynockan House and Cookery School, and check out Catherine's Instagram because loads of great tips on there as well. Now coming up, we're going to look at this Welsh decision to implement a tourist tax, or at least to legislate for it. Are they the key to sustainable travel or an unnecessary expense?
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.